The scripture today comes from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus said this, he continued on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As Jesus came to Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he gave two disciples a task. He said, "Go into the village over there. When you enter it, you will find tied up there a colt that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say, 'Its master needs it.'" Those who had been sent found it exactly as he had said. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "Its master needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their clothes on the colt, and lifted Jesus onto it. As Jesus rode along, they spread their clothes on the road. As Jesus approached the road leading down from the Mount of Olives, the whole throng of his disciples began rejoicing. They praised God with a loud voice because of all the mighty things they had seen. They said, "Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heavens." Some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, scold your disciples. Tell them to stop." He answered, "I tell you, if they were silent, the stones would shout." Holy words for holy people.
A little while back, my brother got frustrated with all of the politics that he would see on Facebook and Instagram and social media, and the tone that people were taking with everybody politically. Because if you pay attention to that stuff, it gets ugly out there. No one is talking to anyone, nobody's talking with anyone, they're sort of talking at one another. And people are sort of shouting at one another over politics, and people are losing friends. People are like not friends anymore because they disagree politically, and people are doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And my brother was like, "I'm sick of this. I come here for fun. I wanted to look at Facebook to see pictures of your kids, or, you know, to hear a joke, or, you know, something more fun than all of this." So he decided, and I followed, I will give him the credit, this was his thing, he decided that he was going to buy stick-on googly eyes and stick them on objects and photograph them and post them to social media. So he would find random stuff, staplers, pitchers, spray bottles, Vases with a V, not faces with an F. The speaker on his computer desk, anything that would vaguely resemble a face once you stuck the eyes on it. So he would stick little googly eyes on stuff, photograph it, and then just say, "Everything's better with stick-on googly eyes." So I've been on board with this for a long time, too. People have started to associate googly eyes with the Duell brothers. People will find googly eyes in the store, photograph them, and tag me and my brother in the pictures. Stick-on googly eyes make everything funny. I don't know what it is, but I just love it. I just love it. I have fun. If you look at my Facebook page, you will see some stick-on googly eyes. You'll see stick-on googly eyes on guitar picks, different objects I found around the house. I even put googly eyes on one of our Acolyte sticks and photographed that. It's fun. And it's a nice break from all of the politics and the ugliness and the meanness that can be out there. And really, I mean, with all of the disagreements that people have about religion and all the disagreements that people have about politics and all the disagreements that they have about even entertainment, whether this movie was worth seeing or whether this show was worth watching or whether this song is worth listening to, people get contentious and weird about that. We can all rally around googly eyes. We all enjoy the googly. Because it takes inanimate objects and humanizes them in some way. If you study language, if you study English or writing at all, you know, that's personification, right? Where something that is not a person takes on characteristics of a person. And we do this. We do it. We give inanimate objects personal characteristics. Got one of those robot vacuums. It's not a Roomba. The Roomba's too expensive. We bought one that was a lot less expensive than the Roomba. But we have one of those robot vacuums. We call it Astro. And we will turn it on and watch it, and then we will say things like, "Boy, he really likes that corner over there, doesn't he?" Because it just seems to go, just no matter how you steer it, no matter how you turn it, it just seems to gravitate toward a corner. Or it just seems to gravitate toward under a piece of furniture. You're like, he really likes it under there, doesn't he? First of all, who decided it was a he? Who decided that it likes anything? I mean, it just has this tendency to go there, but we say it likes it. That inanimate objects take on human characteristics. I mean, haven't you ever felt like your computer was mocking you? You're trying to get it to do something and it keeps doing the same stupid, wrong thing over and over. It's like, you're mocking me, aren't you? Can be like that. And at Palm Sunday, Jesus personifies the stones, the rocks. I love it. The religious leaders and the government leaders and the powers that be are not crazy about this parade that they're throwing for Jesus. They're not crazy about this ruckus that's being raised. Right? Nobody likes a riot except the people who are rioting, right? Nobody enjoys this sort of disruption. It's noisy, it's crazy, things are going to get wild and out of control. We're scared. Tell your people to knock it off. And Jesus says, if they were to get quiet, even these stones would cry out. I struggled to find a graphic that would go with this. I wanted to put like some mouths on rocks, but it all looked kind of creepy. it was like, you know, that's... It seemed like a good idea at the time, you know? It seemed like a good idea in my head, and then when I see it visually, it's like, no, that looks weird. That's creepy. So we just sort of went with a rock says, don't make me cry out. Even the rocks would cry out. Even these stones would be shouting. What's he saying there? What is Jesus trying to say by personifying these rocks? by sticking mouths on them and saying that they would shout. If the people were to get quiet, the rocks would do the shouting. What's the point Jesus is trying to get across to the folks who want to shut down the parade, who want to shut down the party? You can't stop it. Jesus is saying, I can't stop this party. You can't stop this party. This party gonna happen, whether you like it or not. These folks are gonna celebrate, whether you like it or not. They are gonna shout and sing and dance in the streets, whether you like it or not. And you can try and try and try to shut it down, but it ain't gonna happen. You can't stop this party. And the people were excited. The people were so excited. Now, there are some scholars who say that there was another parade going on the other side of town, where Pontius Pilate or another warlord was coming in on a big, muscular, fancy steed, declaring some sort of victory, so like a big military parade, like Kim Jong-un would be proud. You know, this big show of force, this big display of power, this big display of military might and Roman Empire nationalism, and this is, we are victorious, and then this sort of loser's parade on the other side of town with no big fancy steed but a comical little donkey, and only one float in the parade, just this donkey with Jesus. And yet they're waving the palm branches of victory, saying, this is where it's really at, and they're partying. But any way you unpack this story, one of the things that you can't get away from, one of the things that you just can't get away from is just how wrong everybody got Jesus. Everybody around him just got him wrong, including his closest friends, his disciples. They all kind of got him wrong. A good number of the folks who had gathered there for the parade believed Jesus was the one who was going to come into town and he's going to heal all of us, right? He's the big faith healer. He's the one who's going to take away this sore knee that I've got, and he's the one who's going to restore sight to those who are visually impaired, and he's the one who's going to restore mobility to those who can't walk, and he's going to restore all of these people to wholeness. I've heard what this guy can do, and he's going to come in and fix all of our medical ailments. And a certain number of people thought, here he is. He's coming in. He is going to overthrow the empire. He's going to overthrow Rome. He's going to overthrow Caesar and Pilate and Herod. He's going to lead us to military victory where we will be freed from the oppression of the Roman Empire. And that's not what happened. I don't think they could have anticipated that when they're trying to lift Jesus up as some sort of king, that he would be a king whose throne was a cross. But a lesson for us to take from all of this is that in the joy of the party, in the joy of the parade, in the grief of the cross, in the fear of anticipation of Jesus' trial and arrest, in the grief of Holy Saturday after the crucifixion and Jesus has died, in the highs and the lows, in the celebration, in the tears, in the laughter, in the mourning, in the party, and at the funeral, God is there. That God is present in all of that, and God is celebrating as we celebrate, and God is weeping as we mourn, and God is with us in all of it, through the whole thing, through our highest highs and our lowest lows, through our greatest victories and our deepest despairs. And the wonder and splendor and the way you lose yourself. You lose all your worries and your cares in a party. And the way your pain becomes the center of the universe in grief. Through all of that, God is walking with you, beside you, tending to you and caring for you, partying with you and grieving with you. And if you didn't testify to the goodness of God, even the stones would have to say something. Even the rocks would have to say something. How do you, in the midst of all of this, talk about what Jesus has done in your life? How do you talk about what God has done in your life? How God has transformed your thinking? How God has transformed your behavior? How God has transformed the way you understand the way the world works? What has God done for you? And what's the testimony that you can give that says, hey, I started paying attention. I started following Jesus. I started listening for God. And my whole worldview changed. And something happened that I can't explain. But I know God is with me. What's the testimony you have that if you don't even give it, even the rocks would have to testify to it? Whether you put stick-on googly eyes on the rock or not. Palm Sunday. God is with us. God is among us. Even when we get Jesus wrong and have expectations of him that he can't or won't fulfill, even when we have to reinterpret or re-understand our understanding of Jesus, through all of that, God is with us, and that is good news. Let the party go on. Amen and amen.